thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
Hey guys, it's Daniel Smooth from Time to BS. Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast, and I got something to tell you all today. If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one simple place. Let me explain before we start the show. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or even your computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one simple place. And best of all, Anchor is totally free. So what are you waiting for? Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and enjoy the show.
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
Hey guys, it's Daniel Smooth, host of Time to BS. Being a part of Belly Up brings along some cool stuff and partners to join our crazy journey, that's for sure. Like Manscaped, for instance. Finally, a way to delicately clean and trim your fromundas without cutting them. Because that'll hurt like hell. Use the promo code BellyUpFantasy at manscaped.com for 20% off your next order. That's BellyUpFantasy in all caps at manscaped.com. This podcast is sponsored by Canda Dips, the newest lineup to the dip game, but in CBD form. The Canda Dips lineup features products made for every man's lifestyle. All tins are proudly crafted from the hills of Humboldt County in California. It's filled with flavor and will give you that good vibe that CBD brings to the room. So what are you waiting for? Use the promo code BELLYUP20 in all caps at CandaDips.com for 20% off your next order. That's BELLYUP20 at CandaDips.com. Thanks to our friends over at Lotterying Watches for sponsoring Time to BS Podcast. Use the promo code TIME2BS at Lotterying.com for some sweet deals over on the website. That's time, the number two, and BS at Lotterying.com.
It's time to BS.
Jack!
Yo!
Where the fuck have you been?
I've been away for a while. It's definitely been a hot minute.
You have been away for a while, my friend. The fuck have you been up to?
Lots of things. Lots of raging at football games.
Oh, who somewhat predicted the NFC West to be somewhat correct? I did predict that San Francisco would win this division. Either San Fran would win this division. I don't know if I predicted that. I think I predicted... I don't remember.
I don't know if I'm more impressed or just pissed that Brock Purdy has turned out to be good.
Mr. Irrelevant. Donut, what are you doing, you stoonod? She's been jumping around in boxes and bags and God knows what for the last
cats.
3 hours.
It's just cat behavior. I own three of them. I know what it's like.
Oh, you have three cats? I didn't know this.
Yep.
Huh. Learn something every day. How about that? But I don't know what's more impressive. The fact that Geno Smith at one point was an MVP favorite, or that your Rams prediction has hit you so hard in the face
that... Yeah.
Or I was wrong on Pete Carroll the whole time.
I don't know.
What's more impressive?
I don't know. This has been such a weird fucking year. Like, it really has.
It really has,
There's
dude.
Just so many things that, like... it's like wild to think that I was like just horribly wrong about so many things. You know what my way too early prediction for the AFC West was?
What?
It was the fucking Broncos. I thought they were going to win the AFC West. I thought
of
Russell Wilson was.
I think a lot of us did.
I believed in Russ.
And look,
I really did. And I guess it was also like a combination of that, and I just didn't know what the Chiefs were going to do without Tyreek. But it turns out Patrick Mahomes is, in fact, him. So,
old Pete Carroll, the biggest of apologies. I think I'm like the divorced spouse who is like trying to apologize to his ex-wife. Trying to say, take me back, I'm sorry. That's how I feel about Pete Carroll right now. That is how I feel. So,
yeah.
Ask me how the hell I'm doing. I'm doing, outside of a multitude of things in the personal realm, I'm doing phenomenal.
There you go.
To say the least.
There you go.
All I gotta do is just beat Mike White. And then beat the Rams the following week. Both games at home.
Yeah. I'm confused. The Jets look so weird this year, honestly.
The Jets are infuriating. They're so infuriating. From a guy who lives on Long Island, who's surrounded by Jet fans, they are fucked. Again.
I mean, they're getting Mike White back.
Yeah, but how much does that help?
I think it helps a lot more considering you've seen what Zach Wilson has done as of late.
He had too much time to sleep with some cougars.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty fucking much, dude. Pretty much. How bad has that turned out? Holy shit. I don't think any of us predicted that.
God, and the weird reality of it all is that now that makes me, as a Rams fan, live in a world where Jets fans hate our franchise. Because
because they beat you guys.
We lost to them for some inexplicable reason. I guess it was Jared Goff more than anything else, but like we just lost that game. And that's what cost them, ultimately, that's what cost them the first overall pick. And now you have Trevor Lawrence balling out for Jacksonville.
The Jaguars might win the AFC South. That's crazy
It's in their own hands. They can still win the AFC South.
Do you think about the playoff format eventually.
Do you think
the final game of the season ends up being like the Sunday night game, weeks 18, like Jaguars-Titans?
It could be.
For the AFC South title. We are in a world where that team... I mean, Doug Peterson was an excellent hire, but fuck. That was brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, anything was an upgrade over Urban Meyer, but... Yeah, and that's kind of like where the Jaguars stand, whereas the Jets, now you're stuck with Zach Wilson for a couple more weeks, and it's like, now, from what I'm hearing, he's also inactive.
Glazer reported, who I trust over a lot of fucking people... If a Jay Glazer report comes out, that usually means it's true. That the Jets are going to move on from Zach Wilson. And you have to think, they got to get someone to fit that system.
U Stadium also tweeted that Zach Wilson is basically just going to be inactive. So they have him as third string right now.
Good.
So.
Good.
As the backup, Mike White's the starter.
So, Nick, if you're listening, this is what happens when you overhype Zach Wilson. Love you, buddy. But seriously, this is what you get. This is what you get for overhyping a guy from BYU to be the second overall pick as a quarterback who played inferior competition at BYU when Justin Fields was right there. And it looks like the Bears are geniuses right now for trading up to get Ryan Pace, former GM of the Bears, looks like a fucking genius.
Yeah, he does.
He really looks like a fucking genius. He called Dave Gettleman and said, we will give you this much for us to get Justin Fields.
I think that draft selection is like Draft selection. I'm obviously talking about Justin Fields. I think he's still a bit of a work in progress, obviously.
Yeah.
But
he can run.
Yeah, he can run for sure.
Did he break the Ohio State curse?
I don't know.
TBD?
TBD, I'd say.
TBD, got it. That's a TBD. Dave Gettleman looks like a fucking genius for taking Daniel Jones. How many of us would have predicted that?
I wanted to believe in Daniel Jones. I honestly thought it was a feel-good story in a way because no one expected that pick so early on in the draft, but there's a realistic chance he could be the guy, I'll say.
I think there's a realistic opportunity that he is the guy in New York, and I cannot believe I'm saying that. John, if you're listening, you actually have a quarterback. We got to get him on eventually. He's been crazy busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was supposed to be in Vegas right now. What the hell are you doing, Donut? So, there's a funny story to tell you. I was supposed to be in Las Vegas, and the previous episode, 160, was supposed to be the last podcast episode of the year. I was going to be done for the rest of the year. I was going to be chilling in Vegas, few books in my hand, chilling in the hotel, relaxing. And then, sure enough, I get a fucking phone call saying, oh, your flight got canceled. Ice storms out west.
How the heck? That's like Northern California, I think, right? Or somewhere around that area. I mean, obviously, Vegas isn't in Northern California. But
I was about to say, this is your geography.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like that something, because I was hearing about stuff happening up there.
There's ice everywhere. Florida.
I just wonder if it like moved down to like that area. I know Florida got snow. We're supposed to get rain tomorrow in SoCal. Precipitation is happening in a lot of different places.
So yeah, it would have been too risky for us to fly out there this morning and then fly back in the middle of an ice storm on Saturday night. So it would have been really fucking risky.
Yeah.
So,
well, you played it safe.
Yeah.
And now here we are.
No kidding. So that was fun. On top of a lot of other shit that happened. Oh, boy.
Today, in fact.
Well, this happened on Thursday.
Okay.
So, Donut, stop. Jesus, she's got the zoomies. But
yeah.
A lot of crap happened. Also, the reason why we're recording this today is because Josh Schneider and Pete Carroll look like fucking geniuses.
And the Broncos don't?
Yeah, this is what happens when you put all your eggs in one basket, Denver. This is what you get. Also, this is what happens when you don't do your fucking research on Russell Wilson. And you realize that the dude is literally, he's worthless right now. How many of us would have said that at the beginning of the season? Saying like, oh, Denver's going to go 4-11. They're going to start 4-11. Your head coach is going to get fired. Only the second head coach in history to not finish a full season in his first.
You're going to get your shit kicked in by a Rams team that's missing
the entire
like game. What nine start like basically everybody. Basically Aaron Donald didn't play. Cooper Kupp, Stafford, Allen Robinson. Sure, there's a couple other names in there that I'm missing out on the top of my head right now. Brian Allen, the starting center. Stafford. A lot of O line men, honestly.
Stafford's I mentioned out. Already. Stafford's out. Well, he's been out.
Yeah. I mentioned Stafford and Kupp already. Obviously, they're out. Allen Robinson's out.
Is Akers still playing?
Akers had 3 touchdowns on Sunday. So he decided to show up.
Okay. And
I'm actually happy he did that. That was honestly, like, real talk. That was actually, like, a really, really, really important game for Cam Akers to have.
Oh, yeah.
Because it shows that, like, maybe there is a path to redemption here. Maybe if he does stick around, because they couldn't find a trade partner for him, and they decided, all right, I guess we'll try to fix it in L.A. Maybe there is a bit of a path to redemption here. And I think having a game like that is certainly It's certainly a big help.
What buttons do I get? Yes!
There you go.
Yes! I figured out the soundboard once again. This tweet is courtesy of Seahawk Nerd. If Denver loses to Kansas City and the Chargers, Chicago beats Detroit or Minnesota, Houston beats Jacksonville and Indianapolis, guess who owns the number one overall pick?
The Broncos?
The Denver Broncos, who owns their pick. Seattle does.
Oh, my God.
That's funny. So
they get their first overall pick, and then it goes to Seattle because Seattle has their first pick. Oh, my Lord. This is like the Lions and Rams trade being as even as it is and, like, happening in a year where no one could have predicted the Rams to just be abysmal.
No one predicted
that. It's been horrible, dude.
Oh, my God. We've been trying to get you on for weeks and weeks and weeks, and shit has been hitting the fan left and fucking right. So, do you have the energy to destroy your Rams, or do you feel like a slight bit of optimism for the years going forward?
I don't know where to begin, honestly, and I don't even know if I should go on a rant.
What the hell happened?
I'm going to say this to anybody out there who might be saying that, like, oh, this is the price you paid and now your team is starting to, like, fall apart because, like, this is – you sold out this season so that you could win the Super – no!
No.
Do you know how many people are hurt? Do you know how little – like, the thing – the Rams' downfall, their ultimate downfall, I feel like is going to come when contracts of players like Stafford, Ramsey – Donald and Kupp, when those that's like our core four right now. And when those contracts start to run out, Kupp is off the books.
And Kupp.
I mentioned Kupp, I think.
You said Kupp, Ramsey, Stafford, and Donald.
Yeah.
Okay, those four.
Those are like the core four of this team right now. And again, Bobby Wagner's on a 5-year deal too.
But still, so, that's a reasonable contract.
That's a reasonable contract. I like that deal. I think when those contracts start to run out and if the Rams are unable to, like, get them back, if they decide to move on in free agency or things like that happen, that I think is – and then, like, Sean McVay's not – it's pretty clear he's not going to want to stay after they leave, or at least that's what's been rumored. He's not going to want to stay after they leave. Then I think that is ultimately what's going to be the downfall of the Rams, because that's stuff that's, like, I guess sort of in their control as to whether they get a contract extension. So I guess it's more of a thing that they can control than the injuries that are happening to them right now. You can't control everybody getting hurt left and right.
Am I wrong, however, for saying you lost a majority of your offensive line? The Von Miller free agent loss hurt worse than people think.
It stings more than people realize. And, like,
you traded arguably your best route runner in Robert Woods for pennies.
I'm still a little
annoyed by that too.
I'm annoyed by that.
Annoyed.
I really, really miss Robert Woods. I mean,
like, I like Allen Robinson, Penn State guy, but Robert Woods was better for that system. Like, by far, not even close.
Yeah, I think it was such a weird time when Robert Woods did get hurt, because, like, this past season, I guess 2021 I'm talking about, was, like, before then, Kupp and Woods, I would always view them as, like, a top receiver duo. I never really saw Kupp or Woods standing out as, like, a top 10 receiver in the league. They were, like, probably a top 10 duo, though, because when they worked together, it was just, like,
you couldn't stop them.
You couldn't stop them. And then Kupp just exploded
in the postseason.
And he was having a good year this year, too, before the injury. Like, if he's healthy, he's a Pro Bowler.
He's an MVP candidate if he's healthy.
Yeah, for sure. And it's just, I guess the Rams sort of realized that they have, like, I don't want to say luxury, but, like, they kind of realize that they don't have to operate with Kupp and Woods like there's a duo anymore. Although I don't see why they ever needed to get rid of them. I think holding on to both of them was the play, because Robert Woods can still produce for an offense.
Granted, he's still doing it, but still.
Yeah, but he can still produce. He all the intangibles that he brings to, like, the leadership in the locker room and, like, what he brings to, like, the run-blocking game and stuff like that when he's not on the score sheet. It's, like, it's so hard to replace that.
Yeah.
And I think we're also learning still today, replacing Todd Gurley in his prime
was impossible.
Impossible. Yeah. Impossible. Not that Cam Akers is bad, because he's playing I think he's improving.
A two-back system with Henderson and Akers. Granted, Henderson's not there, right? He got waived recently, right? He got waived. But still, you were running a two-back system in there.
Kyren Williams is now the backup, and I think the Rams don't want to get rid of Kyren Williams. They see something in him, and I want to see it too. I don't think the sample size is big enough just yet, because they're, like, still insistent on Cam Akers being the guy. Because he could be the guy. In 2020, he looked really, really, really good in 2020.
Yeah, he looked awesome.
It's pretty obvious to say that the Achilles injury set him back. Again, that's just sort of like, it's what can you do? It's an injury. It's out of your control.
Yeah. You and I are in same boats, but different ending results.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle didn't have a choice but to trade Russell Wilson, and Jamal Adams went down, hurt the defense. A lot of guys, Rashad Penny hurt the offense a little. Rashad Penny hurt it getting out for the year. Hurt that offense more than people realize. Because instead of relying on... Because instead of having two running backs to worry about and two receivers to worry about, you're now down a running back, and now Lockett's out seemingly for the regular season.
That's a more painful loss than people realize.
Yeah, Tyler Lockett is...
talked about enough.
In my honest opinion, Tyler Lockett's better than DK Metcalf, and that's my god-honest opinion.
I won't argue one way or the other, but I do think that people talk about DK Metcalf more than they talk about Tyler Lockett.
And
people
kind of
Tyler Lockett's insane. Like if he gets a pass in the red zone, if he gets a catchable ball in the red zone,
he's catching
or
it.
Or the end zone. He's not dropping it.
He's catching it. Now,
yo, the only way he's not is if somebody comes out of nowhere and bats it down at the last second or picks it off. Like even then it's just
But
yeah.
This is, you know, unbiased aside, I do see a little bit of the 2012 team, the Seahawks in the 2012 team this year as opposed to, you know, the last several years, because they got a ton of good pieces there.
Sure.
I mean, the Rams look real. If the Rams didn't have a bunch of injuries and they actually rebuilt that offensive line, they'd be fine.
I think the Rams are going to be fine if they stay healthy next season. I think that's kind of like the key thing. Obviously, like, a year full of injuries is out of people's control. And that's just, it's a really suckish part of the game, but it's part of the game that people get hurt. And it's like, as long as they're able to stay healthy next season and build up a little more depth, I think depth is what's necessary everywhere. Because the important thing about, you look at the 49ers, for example. The 49ers are down to their third-string quarterback.
And they won the NFC West.
Yeah. And Brock Purdy is playing fine. And, like, even if, like, Garoppolo somehow comes back, Garoppolo will play. I don't know if he's going to play, but if he has to play, he's serviceable. And he's going to play well enough to, like, where he'll function in the offense. And it's, like, the thing about the point that I'm making, though, it's not about the 49ers. The point with the 49ers is, like, they have depth. They're losing players, but they have enough depth to fill in those holes. That's not what the Rams have. No. And they really, this offseason, I think during the draft, need to focus on the O-line. And I think look for a linebacker replacement for Von Miller, because
you need pass rush help. Big time.
You need pass rush help, but you just also need depth in general. You need the Rams. This is also why I want the Rams to keep Baker Mayfield, because you need to get to a position where if a big starting player goes down with injury and he's going to be out for a substantial amount of time, you have to not be screwed, basically. Like, you need to have somebody ready to step up and fill that role maybe not to the exact level of the previous guy, but, like, you know what I'm saying.
Like, Stafford has a neck injury. You don't come back easily from that.
You don't come back easily from a concussion. That's the main thing he was dealing with. Obviously, the neck injury sucks. Sean McVay says that he should be healthy for next season.
Yeah.
But this is kind of why I want the Rams to hold on to Baker Mayfield, because not only does Baker have a chance to develop more within this system, but, you know, it also gives the Rams much needed depth, because if Stafford does, if the concussion, God forbid, but if the concussion problems do come back for Stafford, Baker Mayfield is going to fill in just fine.
Yeah. 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 Did you see the Dolphins are now 8-6? Or 8-6?
Oh, God. Tua turned the ball over is what I saw trending on Twitter.
Because of Tua turning the ball over, we might see Aaron Rodgers and the Packers once again in the fucking playoffs.
I think the Packers are one and done and they're in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's such a weird year for Green Bay, too, because, like, they had such a slow start, and now it feels like they're recovering, but it's only just a matter of, like, is it too little, too late? But, like, what's their clinching scenario? They have to win out, and
they
then...
They gotta win out. They gotta win out and hope...
I think Washington has to lose.
Washington and the Giants both have to lose in order for both Seattle and the Packers to make the playoffs consecutively.
That's doable, too.
Yeah, Seattle has a winnable game against the Jets, and... No offense against the Rams. And then the Packers, who do they play? Detroit, Chicago, and Detroit?
I don't think Chicago. I could be wrong, though. Let me check. Yeah, let me verify this information. The Packers' next two games are against Minnesota and Detroit.
Okay, so I was half right.
Still two divisional opponents. Minnesota can probably beat them. Minnesota's insane this
Minnesota
year.
Minnesota confuses the crap out of me.
They're confusing, but they're good. Trust them.
Am I wrong for saying I don't trust them?
I will say it's a little bit of a question mark still to trust them, because, like, they obviously the comeback that they had recently against the Colts was impressive as hell.
Yeah.
The problem is, when you're a team that should be as good as Minnesota is, you shouldn't be going down 33-0 to the Colts in the first place.
Here's a terrific question. Who do you trust more, Minnesota or Philadelphia?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. I don't trust Philadelphia at all.
See, here's the thing with Philadelphia. I don't trust them without Hurts.
I don't trust them
I thought Minshew looked fine against Dallas, but
I
Dallas.
I don't trust them in general. Because they had the easiest schedule in the league. You expect me to believe that a team that had the easiest schedule in the league with the number one seed in the NFC is going to ride their way to the Super Bowl and a Super Bowl victory? What was the last team that had that happen to them? I'll tell you, Carolina in 2015.
I don't know about, like, how the severity of Jalen Hurts' injury is obviously up in the air, because now he might not play again this week. And it's like, I say this, but all that's left is Monday Night Football, yeah. But you get what I mean. It's like,
that's true. But still, you don't have a great offensive line. Your defense is still really good, but it's still every now and then has some questionable spots. Jalen Hurts was your offense.
I don't know about that one. I thought Minshew played pretty good.
I like Minshew. I do.
But would they only lose by like 3 or 4 points or something like that? Or am I way wrong?
It was like 3 or 4.
I'm going to check that, too.
But,
okay. 34 to 40. Okay, so it was 6 points. Close enough.
Okay, I have a great question for you, fellow NFC division opponent. The current NFC playoff structure as of today, the day after Christmas of 2022, December 26th, what stays the same? Philadelphia, Minnesota, San Francisco, Tampa Bay. As of right now, the first five teams are, as I mentioned before, including Dallas. Who makes it? Giants, Washington, Seattle, Detroit, or Green Bay? One of those five. Two of those five.
The thing about Green Bay is that they have a really favorable schedule still, but I feel like Minnesota has what it takes to win that game. I think Green Bay goes 1-1 the close of the year. I don't know if the Lions have what it takes to pull an upset. They could, though.
Detroit is very well coached, though.
Yeah.
I like it.
I think a lot of people owe Dan Campbell an apology from last year. Like, I think a lot of people just like Dan Campbell for his, like, energy more than anything else last year.
Dan Campbell, gigantic apology.
And it turns out he actually kind of knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And it also, you know, I'm as somebody who watched Jared Goff for the last, like, 5.5 straight seasons before Matthew Stafford came in. I think he has definitely bounced back in a huge way. I think he's erased the narrative of he needs a perfect offense around him.
Yeah.
He needs literally everything going right for him to play good.
The defense has played great too in Detroit.
Yeah, the defense is playing really well.
The defense has played awesome.
It's such a wild card.
It's such an interesting question. Seattle's schedule's favorable too.
It is. As painful as it is to say, yes, it is. The thing is, I don't know if I trust Washington at all either, because it looks like they were willing. I don't know what Heineke's status is right now. I don't know if he got hurt or not, because I saw that they ended up going to put Carson Wentz back in.
Oh, Christ.
I don't like Carson Wentz at all.
Who doesn't? Who likes Carson Wentz at all?
I liked him pre-ACL tear.
Oh, he was great pre-ACL tear.
I was having legitimate discussions with people in 2016 over whether we should have drafted him versus Jared Goff.
Look how that turned out.
Looking back at how things turned out, I think that it's fine the way it turned out, and I'm not upset.
No.
But
I'm not upset about it either.
It's such a tough call. The Saints and Panthers both are still alive.
Mathematically, which is amazing.
Yeah. I think there's a realistic chance the Giants get in.
I think the Giants get in, too.
Oh,
God. This is tough.
This is such a weird season. It really is just such a weird season.
Okay. Who do you trust more in the AFC playoff picture? Out of the teams that have yet to clinch. So Jacksonville, Los Angeles, Miami, New England, and the Jets... And the Jets, realistically, those five. Because Tennessee, I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, Tennessee, it's such a weird... They're having such a weird year. I think we can safely say the Steelers and Raiders aren't going to make it.
Yeah, I don't think they're making it.
They, like, play each other, too, so that can really screw both teams. I still don't trust the Chargers, man.
Fucking like Thanos. Yes,
but also like I don't trust, like, I need to see it again, like, in these key games that they have to play. Like, obviously the Colts, you realistically should be able to beat the Colts. But it's just that, like, I feel like with Brandon Staley, with Justin Herbert, some of that potential to choke definitely still exists.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just a matter of, like, I need to see it. I need to see them actually, like, win out and make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, win out, too. Like, they only have to win this one game, but I think they need to win out and, like, prove that, like, they actually know what they're doing.
They got to beat the Colts. They got to beat you guys.
The thing is, my only problem with that is that they are in a position where they might just rest starters next week, because... If they win tonight, they're in. But the Chiefs already have the AFC West, so they're just going to be a wild card team regardless. So
that's a dangerous wild card team, though.
they might rest starters. I think the Chargers are a rest starters team if they get in.
Good point.
It's really, it's also really, really hard to bet against Bill Belichick.
Cincinnati? What about the Bengals?
The Bengals are in.
But do you trust them?
Kind of.
The Collins injury hurts, though.
It does.
That injury hurts a lot.
I still like, obviously, Burrow and Jamar. I think that they've bounced back in a big way.
Yeah.
They're
going to be around for a while.
Yeah, that's going to be a dangerous combo for a long time. Like,
Bengals are going to be around for a long time.
I wasn't kidding when I said that they would be back after they lost the Super Bowl. I would say that they're. I was saying to people they'd be back at some point soon. I wasn't kidding. They didn't look like they're going to be back.
Yeah, they'll be fine. I mean, if they get the they play the Kansas City Chiefs in the second round,
that's going to be a spicy game.
Oh, spicy. Okay. While I have you, okay, if Seattle makes the playoffs for the 7th seed, do they beat Minnesota?
No.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Give me confidence.
I want to, but, like, I don't know about Geno Smith.
Like, obviously,
he has surpassed expectations, I'll say that much.
He's confused me.
He's
confused the crap out of me. But I can't really say anything at this point. I'm just fucking confused. Because they're a team that needs everything to go right, too, in order for them to do anything.
Yeah. It's such a weird year to predict, honestly. Like, I didn't expect the Bucs to be this bad. I didn't expect.
You know why?
The
Bucs are bad? Because Tom Brady got divorced. That's why. That's what you get for picking football over your smoking hot wife.
Tom Brady is such an enigma.
Does Tom Brady look like a lesbian?
No.
Look a picture of Tom Brady right now.
I don't think he does.
Look at a picture of Tom Brady.
His image is ingrained in my head. I don't think he does.
Look at a picture of Tom Brady on Google and tell me he doesn't look like a lesbian from New York. I'm telling you. It's funny. It's hysterical. It's all he needs is, like, you know, like a polo shirt with, like, diamond earrings and a fucking... That's funny. I'm gonna get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get in trouble for that by somebody. It's a running joke we've had for a while, though. For a long time. Okay. Are we in agreement, though, that San Francisco and Buffalo is the Super Bowl?
No.
San Francisco, Buffalo, Philadelphia? Are we in agreement?
I don't know what my Super Bowl prediction is. Like, I feel like if I predict Buffalo, they're going to find a way to choke. This is a team that looks really, really good, but they lost to the Jets.
Yeah, but it's Buffalo.
They're prone to mistakes. And then the Eagles, obviously, without Hurts, it's like, it's bad. And, like, if Minnesota clinches the 1 seed, I think Minnesota, like, has a realistic shot.
Can we imagine the Vikings? Kirk Cousins in the fucking Super Bowl would be the most infuriating thing.
The thing about the 49ers is, this is such a weak schedule that they've played.
Yeah.
The 49ers have played games this season. They've played against they've lost to the Bears. They lost to the Broncos. Think about it. You lost to the Broncos. Obviously, that's with Trey Lance, but, like, the loss still counts.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Rams this year aren't that great.
No.
They've won games against Carolina. They lost to Atlanta with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
And then their wins have come against teams like the Cardinals, the Saints, the Chargers,
Seattle twice,
the Dolphins, Seattle, Washington. Seattle, Washington, that's funny. I mean, DC, obviously. And then the rest of their schedule against the Raiders and the 49ers, they haven't played against a team like the Eagles, the Vikings, or the Cowboys.
So you can't like, really trust them fully.
I haven't seen them go up against these teams that are like exponentially good on offense. Cause I feel like the 49ers, their biggest strength is their defense and like the minimalist amount of points that they've allowed in the second half of the season. Okay. It's like you can't, you know, obviously those are good stats, but like you have yet to see them play against some of the most explosive offenses in the league. So like, I don't know if I can trust the 49ers just yet. I don't know if I can trust Brock Purdy to keep pace with some of the better quarterbacks in the league right now.
Can we confirm though that the Seattle Kraken look really good though?
Oh man!
Oh man!
Do I really? Since my last appearance on the show, the Kraken and Kings played in a game where the Kraken won in overtime 9-8. What the hell was that?
That was beautiful. That was the worst defensive game I've ever
that
seen.
That was anarchy on the ice. Literally anarchy. I'm like, that's like when I play my brother in NHL 22. Or 23, I guess
Who
it
had
is
a
now.
Hat
I don't...
trick? Did anyone have a hat trick?
I'd be surprised if no one did.
I'd be amazed. I'm going to look that up right now real fucking quick.
The Kings are on a bounce back, though, at least. At the very least,
Kings
it feels like
the Kings
they
are really good.
I think that win in Boston was kind of a turning point for them because, you know, Boston's obviously one of the best teams in the league right now. I don't know if they're the number one team. They could be, but, like, Boston's a really freaking good team. And the Kings beat them in a shootout. Granted, I don't think the shootout should count as real hockey. I don't like free breakaways. You know, obviously there are some nasty goals in the shootout that people score, and that's fine. But it's like you're telling people like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl that they have free breakaways to go win the game. It's kind of lame. What's funny?
I am looking at the box score for the Kraken and the Kings against that 9-8 game. Would you be amazed if I were to tell you that no player had a hat trick in that game?
That's ridiculous.
Three players on the Kraken scored twice. Gabe Vilardi scored twice.
Vilardi looks good though.
Yeah, he looks really good.
He looks really good. I think since that game. Really, since a couple games, like I think the Boston game for sure, because the Kings schedule. I'm normally not a schedules against us guy, but the Kings schedule this year has been brutal.
Yeah,
like absolutely brutal. I think they have like they either have alone or they're tied for the most games in the league right now. Games played in the league, right. And yeah, and they just. You know, they've been on like these long road trips. There's a lot of back to backs too, but they're still like, I think running with games that they probably shouldn't be running with. Phoenix Copley has been the saving grace of this team, I should say.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They like Quick and Peterson have just been so inconsistent this season, and the fact that that Copley has just come up out of the minors and is like, what is he, 6-1-1? 6-1-0 this season.
Shane Wright looks really good for the Kraken, too.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Wright looks awesome.
I think it was fair to give the Kraken a year.
Yeah, it was very fair. Here, I don't fully trust them, though, because Dave Haxtell's their head coach.
Yeah, Dave Haxtell's such a weird head coach. Like, obviously, he's figured it out now, but, like, when it comes down to, like, games that matter for, like, playoff position and, like, playoff games if they get there, like, do we trust Haxtell?
Nope.
I don't know.
Nope. I sure as hell don't, because he was the Flyers head coach for a long time, and he didn't do shit.
Well, we'll see. That's all I'm going to say.
The Seattle Mariners, speaking of Seattle.
I don't know how much I'm paying attention to baseball right now, but I don't know if I trust the Mariners.
You don't trust the Mariners,
I don't know. I literally don't know. I don't have any indication of their roster right now. No. they haven't, if they got.
I mean, they looked really good last year, though.
I did kind of feel happy for them when they clinched their first playoff spot in like what 20+ years, 27 years, something like that.
Would it be a longer idea to get a Seattle sports like tattoo wrapped around my arm, wrapped around the Seahawks logo? I would get the Kraken, the Sonics, the Mariners. I don't know.
I think you should get the Kraken logo for now.
I would get the Kraken logo. Absolutely, I would. That's such a cool logo.
I really like the Kraken's branding. I'm not much of a powder blue guy or anything like that, but Kraken's branding.
No, if we were to include powder blue, you got to get the Chargers in there. The Chargers powder blue is the greatest jersey ever.
It's disgusting.
Wow, really? That's a hot
take. Yeah.
That's a hot take.
I know it's a hot take. I'm going to stand by it.
Crazy take, my friend. That's a scary take.
That'd be fun to like revisit one day all the new uniforms that have come out as of late and see if like how good they are now, like how have they held up? Have our teams changed?
That's a fair observation. That's a pretty fair observation. That's a pretty bold observation. The Patriots. Do you like the Patriots' new jerseys, the old ones?
I like the new ones.
I like the old ones.
I think the old ones, though, had like a bit of an intimidation factor just because of how good the team used to be.
Yeah.
It's like obviously they had kind of a dynasty going, and then you would see like those jerseys.
Dynasty.
And you would think, damn, we have to play them again? Like, fuck. But I like their new York. Their new ones are a lot cleaner. I like their new ones.
I like the fact that the Seahawks are bringing back a reverse retro jersey for like the 80s teams. Those are beautiful. Those are going to be beautiful. I'm so pumped for that.
Reverse retro NFL.
Can they do that?
I don't know.
Do you think they can do that?
The thing is, Adidas is the company that was more pushing for reverse retro than NHL was. So Nike would have to come up with like a different twist on it.
However,
it's Nike. You see what they're doing with the NBA. Nike's got to figure something out.
The Kings reverse retros?
I have one.
How are they?
It's gorgeous.
Oh.
It is absolutely gorgeous. I have one. My brother has one.
The Islanders reverse retro jerseys. I'm not gonna lie.
They're solid.
I like the old ones. I like the old fisherman jerseys. I like the bit of the lighter blue.
The teal, yeah. That's totally fair.
I like those jerseys a lot better. Me personally, at least.
I still think the reverse retro ones are gorgeous, though.
They're fucking beautiful.
They're solid enough.
They're beautiful. Do you think the Kings make the playoffs? Do you think the Kings stay where they are?
I think the Kings are going to make the playoffs if they keep playing at the rate they are right now.
Oh yeah,
I want to see them keep playing well. See them put that performance against like higher up teams like Colorado. Like what? Let me look at their schedule.
What happened to Colorado?
I don't know. Colorado's a bit of a miss. Oh, okay, so they actually play the Golden Knights and the Avalanche in their next two games.
Oh, cool. That'd be fun.
And then they play against Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston again. Vegas again.
The Islanders need to do something quick.
January 14th, we play the Devils.
Oh, really?
That's a test right there. That's
I don't trust New Jersey, me personally, but then again, Lindy Ruff's a damn good coach.
They're on a 13-game win streak. It's kind of hard to bet against them, but we'll see.
I mean, didn't Columbus have like a 16-game winning streak one year?
That was like forever ago, though.
Yeah, but still, it's Columbus.
I mean, who knows?
I don't fucking trust them.
That long of a win streak is just so hard to get, though. So
in hockey, too, it's true.
It's like
really fucking difficult.
Yeah.
Do you think the Broncos made the right decision in firing Hackett?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually posted on U Stadium too. I posted the other day. I'm gonna find my post really quick and read it word for word.
Yeah, you got it.
To me, the funniest thing was Brett Rypien trying to start shit with his OL after another failed series before he had even taken the field. And then as soon as he goes out there, he throws a pick six. Hackett has lost all control. Get him out of there.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
When you have fighting on the sideline and then, like, it's happening because of play, like obviously the on-field result is already terrible. And then it leads into players fighting each other on the sideline. And it's instigated by a player that hasn't even touched the field yet. And it's like, you know, I heard that they, the people that were fighting actually did end up talking it out. But yeah, like when you have that happening, it's like
you have no choice.
It's just signs of like the head coach has completely lost control of the locker room, and it's like you need to bring somebody else in that can regain that control somehow.
Josh Norman just got signed by the Panthers.
That's an interesting big up.
Give me a second. Hold on. I got to confirm that.
Yeah, I've seen it a couple times. You got to confirm it by going to twitter.com/JGlazer.
Hold on. Let's go to Ari.
Yeah, it's
Josh
just...
Norman is signed with the Panthers practice squad. How about that? Good for him.
Yeah.
I liked him better in Carolina.
That's a thing where he's going to spend most of the week on the practice squad, and then he'll get called up to the 53-man before.
Yeah.
The next game.
There you go. All right. That'll do it for us here on this episode of Time to BS. Jack?
It was a pleasure being back.
Of course, my friend.
Definitely. Again, more often. Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
I'm going to the fucking gym. All right. Thanks for tuning in, guys. And we hope to see you around in this life or the next one. Have a good one, guys.